And welcome to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. It is episode 123, which I thought was cool. Good. We're good to go. All right. It's kind of hectic. We were kind of rushed in here right now, but welcome to the show. We got a lot going on tonight. In fact, our first guests, well, our only guests for tonight are on the line right now. So let's go and grab them real quick and put them on. We're going to be talking tonight with Josh and Jeff. Josh, and I hope you say your name right, your last name right. Drescher,
like TV's The Nanny.
Oh, yay. Drescher and Jeff Hickman from Warhammer Online. Hi, guys.
Hi. Is Jeff already on the line, or is it just me? He had an emergency at the end of the day. I wasn't sure if he actually made it into the phone call.
He's being really quiet if he's on the line.
Oh, unfortunately, I think Jeff may not be with us this evening. It was a last-minute thing as I was running out the door to try and get home in time to call you guys.
Well, let me tell you, first of all, we were sitting around, we talked about this as we were downstairs waiting for the show to start. We're like, wow, it's amazing that we got you guys on the show, because shouldn't you be working on the game? And then we thought,
we pretty much launched it yesterday, so the better question would be, shouldn't we be playing the game? And I have a sneaking suspicion, and this is a scandalous thing to say about my boss, I have a sneaking suspicion he's trying to get ahead of me leveling up while I'm on the phone. The idea of the personal emergency without proving it to me in advance, you know, you have to question that.
Okay, who's your boss?
Jeff Hickman.
Oh, Jeff is your boss. Okay, gotcha.
He's the executive producer. He's almost everybody's boss.
Well, yeah, okay. I can understand him having an emergency to run to then.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, you know, we thought about that and we're like, well, actually, the statement should be said is, well, thank you for doing this in all of your hectic schedule.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it. What was your day like today?
It was actually surprisingly calm. We had a really stable launch yesterday with our Collector's Edition players getting a 4-day head start. We'll be ramping up to let in the rest of our pre-order players tomorrow. And then everybody that dragged their feet and waited too long will be getting in on the official launch day on Thursday. And we had a launch that was unbelievably smooth. Obviously, there are always, you know, bugs and weird things to deal with on a day like this where you get a huge quantity of people coming in fresh. But the types of things we were dealing with were so tiny that if you'd asked us a month ago, you know, would you really look forward to a launch day where the biggest problem that you've got is, you know, some of the vendors have the wrong type of armor in the wrong location, we would have said absolutely. That would be a dream come true. So it's been great.
Yeah, well, you know, you're talking about, the Collector's Edition guys are in there now. Do you have any, like, hard numbers from that? How many people are actually in there?
We sold out the Collector's Edition worldwide,
right.
So I actually don't remember the hard number of how many were available. We have those in press releases somewhere.
I think it was 60,000.
I think that's the North American number. It's more or less, you know, one-to-one with Collector's Edition orders and people that actually came in.
Wow. Well, I'm glad to hear that it's going smooth for you guys then. That's a minor miracle there for most MMOs.
You're telling me. And we're excited about it because it actually makes us two for two. When we launched Camelot back in 2001, you know, that was the era of, you know, just epic, total, you know, server-melting failures on launch day. And, you know, we launched with a, you know, comparatively smooth sort of first day. And, you know, we've been talking about from the very beginning of development how that's, you know, really one of the most important things you can do. That if you've got a great game, you need a great launch. Because fans, you know, rightly judge the overall quality of the service based on whether or not they can actually enjoy it on day one.
Very true, and you know, you've got some big competition out there.
Mm-hmm.
You got the biggest competition out there. I guess you.
We're
could
talking
say.
About Hello Kitty Online, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean that is an up and coming PvP game that we're very very interested in.
Where are you in the game? What level are you at right now?
I just switched. I spent the first day and part of this morning leveling up a witch hunter to rank 8, only to have the guild that I'm in kind of send an all-points bullet now going, we could use a couple more tanks. So I am currently now leveling up my second character, a rank 5 Ironbreaker. So that we can get a little bit more defensive armor absorption going in some of the scenarios. because the guild I'm in pretty much levels in RVR. We aren't big on questing and so forth. So we basically hop in and just start leveling up, fighting other players.
Yeah, that's going PvP throughout the, I guess that's the meat of the game right there is PvP. Where was that decision to, what led you to that decision to say, okay, you know, some people say, hey, what are you doing differently than other mm-hmm. MMOs do? And well, I guess your answer to that would be, well, we're pretty much strictly PvP.
We're not strictly PvP, but we call it realm versus realm. Mm-hmm. There are two things that led us to, you know, really make it part of the core of the game. And part of that was just experience. You know, we built RVR into Dark Age of Camelot 7 years ago, almost to the day. And, you know, that was something that was distinct then and actually remains distinct to this day. You know, a game that has, you know, a heavy player versus player focus, but it's almost like PvP with purpose. It's like Highlights for Children, but violent. that's only funny to people that went to my dentist and therefore read Highlights.
Oh, no, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, the Timber Toes and Doofus and Gallant. moving back to the game I'm actually working on. So, you know, really part of that was the genetic legacy of the studio. This is where our experience lies. This is an innovation that we brought to the industry. We are the studio that people associate with meaningful, large-scale PvP RVR combat. And then obviously the other thing that you have to do is when you're building a game like this and you're coming out in an environment where there are tens of millions of potential customers, but they're all more or less satisfied at the moment, how do you attract that attention to your product? And, you know, you can try and recapitulate what's already there, but smart, savvy consumers know, you know, that there's really no reason to move from, you know, something you like to something that's identical and potentially, you know, slightly different. Mm-hmm. You really want to truly differentiate. You want to be able to say to them, hey, look, we know that you enjoy that game. We actually enjoyed that game, too. They did a great job. They did a lot of, you know, really good work for the industry as a whole. We've got something that is different. We want to offer you, for example, you know, competitive, cooperative gameplay on a really large scale. It's a big deal social event where you're playing alongside thousands of other players. What you're doing in the game has real impact. What other players are doing has impact on you. You have a reason to log in and play every day if you want to. And you can contribute meaningfully no matter how much or how little time you have to offer. And we really hang our hat on that. You know, we say that, you know, RVR is the core of the game. We have all of the stuff that you'd expect from, you know, any standard MMO, with all of the terrible bits sort of cut out. But then we also have these really distinct features that make us different. RVR is absolutely one of those.
Well, you know, we've got a few guys here who have been playing what they can of it so far, and I know Daniel, who will probably have a few questions for you during the interview, is dead set on playing, and then we've got James, who's he's more the Warcraft type. He's been doing it for a while. I'm sure it's very hard. I mean, you know, how do you pull players from something like that? How do you make a product that can pull people away from something like that?
Well, the first thing that you have to recognize is that it's not a head-to-head competition. We don't judge success based off of what Warcraft has done.
Right.
And more importantly, we don't view it as one of those sort of, you know, zero-sum things where you're either with them or you're with us and there's no middle ground. What MMOs have done, and, you know, I will, you know, willingly admit that this is largely a function of, you know, WoW's tremendous success. What MMOs have done is they've introduced the concept of video game as hobby. As a long-term experience rather than sort of a linear thing that you do. It's a little bit like being a sports fan. You've got people that are absolutely, you know, just a football fan or just a baseball fan or just a basketball fan, but you have a huge percentage of people that are just sports fans. They like to watch football, basketball, baseball, hockey, the Olympics, you name it. They enjoy the idea of, you know, sports spectating.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is happening with MMOs. People are recognizing, hey, this is actually a really engaging play style. And there can be different types of games that all sort of fall under the umbrella of the MMO. So there's nothing really preventing people from saying, you know, sometimes I want to play a game that's more like, you know, WoW or Eve or Dark Age of Camelot or EverQuest or, you know, the people that are still playing, you know, to this day, 10 years later, Ultima Online. There's nothing preventing those people from saying, and I want to play Warhammer. These games have distinct, unique visions and gameplay styles to offer to players that you're not going to find, you know, if you only choose one or the other. Obviously, if people are going to choose one or the other, we'd prefer that they choose Warhammer. But really, the answer is how do you attract a customer base? And it doesn't matter where they're coming from. If they're new players, if they're coming from another product, or if they're sharing their time between two products, you attract the customer base by creating a fun, engaging experience and then providing a high quality of service. And that's really all we focused on.
Well, you know, it's always... I know you said that it's that you kind of have to look at it in a different way. I'm sure that's sometimes can be hard to do, you know, with something that massive, I suppose. But, but you know, I know that I know Daniel plays Warcraft, but he's dead set on Warhammer right now and looking very much forward to it, from what I understand.
Yes, in fact, I have a question for you that you may or may not have an answer to.
Okay.
For those of us that did not get our hands on Collector's Edition, for whatever reason. Do we have, like, a time frame on when we're, our Head Start is going to start?
People that have pre-ordered the game...
Yes, I just made
that
clear. But
that did not pre-order the Collector's Edition, get in tomorrow morning, East Coast time.
Do we have, like, a time estimate?
Give me 1 second. See,
I really want to know if I can, like, get in and, like, get my character names before work. That's the important part.
Give me 1 sec. I'll see if we've actually announced the time specifically
yet. Checking his PR stuff.
I'm just looking at the website.
Oh, okay.
Well, I could have done that.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know. You might not have the internet.
Actually, we don't right now.
Actually, I was about to say, touche, it did go down. But I did that before down. I left to come to the studio. I was like, man, I got to see.
Yep. It's somewhere, blah, blah, begins tomorrow morning, additional services. I don't have an exact time set. Sometime tomorrow morning. You're in the central time zone, so... Get up a little early and just start refreshing the warherald.com website.
Excellent, yeah.
So
I'll
you
just,
get an exact answer.
I will blow my F5 key out. It'll be great.
Yeah, to the marketing people, I'm sorry I failed you by not memorizing exactly when all the service online. Most people are satisfied with tomorrow.
Well, look, you know, I got to get those names.
Oh, I'm with you. I was.
That's like the big thing in an MMO. Is like, is my name taken?
There are a couple of names that I've traditionally used in MMOs, and I was racing through server lists on Sunday afternoon when everything came up, and there was clearly another guy who was racing to get some of them as well, and I only managed to get my names on about half of the servers before he.
Can't you just go in there and change his name to like Fluffy Muffins and then just take whatever you want?
No, I think that is the name he was going for.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, are you the other Fluffy Muffin? Oddly, if I were to do something like that, Jeff Hickman would find out and he'd fire me. We have a very stringent set of rules about
like,
what employees are and aren't allowed to do on live servers. And
after slaving away on that game for so long, something simple
you're
is
telling
giving
me.
You the name you wanted. Like,
yeah, it's like giving birth to a 500-headed rhinoceros and being told you can't have a soft serve ice cream cone.
Yeah, that's an interesting analogy, but yes.
If anyone ever wants to know what it's like building a massively multiplayer game, it's like giving birth to a 500-headed rhinoceros.
You've given us so many show titles. Thank you so much.
What an interesting personal insight. another question I have on a completely different end of the spectrum is in the open beta, I noticed many, many times playing my Ironbreaker that we would get some order guys together and we would go try and take an objective and then would be swamped by about 4 or 5 times the number of destruction guys.
Mm-hmm.
The current ratio seems to be a little skewed, which doesn't matter as much in the scenario since it's, you know, a fixed player count.
Right.
But trying to take keeps turned out to be really, really brutal because we had a very limited window before they would muster about, you know, 5 times the number of guys we've got, and then it becomes completely moot point.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if there's, like, a balancing plan.
So a couple of things. First of all, and this is true for just about every game, that offers you quote-unquote good guys and quote-unquote bad guys. In your beta, the bad guys will be more popular. In your live game, the good guys will be more popular. It's just a function of, and I don't know what this is a comment on, but it's a function of the type of person that likes to beta test these games t- tends to be the kind of person that wants to have a tentacle for an arm. But in live games, it tends to tilt in the direction of the knights in shiny armor and so forth. The way that we actually address player balance in beta is completely different than how we address it in a live game. In the beta, we really tried to keep the population focused for the vast majority of the time we were testing. That was nearly 2 years of beta testing. We really didn't care at all about, you know, how the populations balanced out for the vast majority of time we were testing, because we knew we had mechanisms we would deploy at the very end of beta to basically make sure that they were working correctly. And these were things that we tried with Camelot. We knew they worked because of Camelot, and as a result, we have confidence in them going ahead with war. So those are things like we have a population cap on our servers that is specific to each realm. So let's use an easy number. Let's say that the population cap is 1,000 players. It's not. It's much higher than that, but 1,000 is an easy number to think of. If the overall population cap is 1,000, we only let 500 order players on and 500 destruction players on. That means that if the destruction side fills up, you have to wait in line to get in as a destruction player. But if you're an order player, until your side fills up, you can just log right in and help out. Because of how easy it is to sort of travel between distinct areas of the game, we've generally found that players don't have a hard time maintaining a rough level of balance overall. You're never going to get a one-to-one total perfect mix of population. Somebody's always going to win and somebody's always going to lose. What you're hoping for, though, is to create a balanced overall dynamic where both sides have a fighting chance, and that you're not doing anything that sort of encourages, you know, ridiculous population imbalance. We also do things like, you know, if you're creating a new character, we'll try and push you to a server that's underpopulated for your realm. And if you choose an underpopulated realm, we actually do give you bonuses. We make it easier for you to level up. We give you, you know, experience modifiers in PvE that just make it a little bit easier to play through some of that content, with the intention being to eventually, you know, try and find a more or less, you know, decent balance over time. And we found that actually the population cap in a live game solves about 90% of the problems. And then, you know, tweaks and nudges here and there from developers help to push you in the other direction. I play an order character at the moment, and I've probably won about 60% of the scenarios I've been in. I've lost the other 40%, which I think is not too shabby overall.
Yeah. Now, there's one thing I noticed is in the scenarios as ordered, we won, I would say, probably about that ratio, 60 to 70, a noticeably larger amount of the time we would win in scenarios.
Yep.
However, I think I only saw us ever even control a keep once. Like, everything else was like, well, you know, destruction controls the zone. Yeah. What else is new?
for the record, there are going to be servers where that's just true.
Yeah, and that could have been it, too.
We're not going to force players to join one server or another. We're not going to prevent you from joining servers because, you know, we've decided that you're not allowed to form a new destruction character, a new order character there. There are going to be times where that happens. And that's where those sort of incentives come in, where we basically say, hey, if you start a new character, let's say it's Destruction that's underpowered, because that's the more likely situation on a live server. You know, Destruction's underpowered on this server. You know, what are we going to do to attract new players? We'll give you that modifier, and we'll explicitly call that out. We'll say, hey, it's 10% easier to level. You'll get done 10% faster going through each quest and, you know, moving through some of the PvE content in the game. Why not come over to this server and help out? And again, experience has told us from Camelot that that's actually, you know, a fairly significant incentive for players, especially the kinds of players who, you know, think in terms of, you know, like a 1% statistical variance being game-breakingly huge. You know, giving them a couple of percent increased XP modification, you know, that's a major incentive for those types of players. So especially people like me that have a terrible case of altitis, where we wind up playing one of everything at some point. You know, I'll always be going to underpopulated servers when I initially create a new character.
Well, that's phenomenal to hear. My third question, I should say, is why wasn't Ironbreaker your first choice for the character? Really, honestly, they're so cool.
I'm trying to suck up to my boss. If you must know, my boss Jeff Hickman, you know, is obsessed with the Witch Hunter, and it's like if you've ever watched The Office. the character of Andy, when he initially gets hired, he says, "Yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to endear myself to my boss. I'm going to constantly repeat his name and his gestures. I'm going to try and look like him and act like him and talk like him, and then he will love me." So my theory was, if I play a witch hunter, Jeff will think I am cool. And then Jeff told me I have to play an Ironbreaker because we need more tanks. So when your boss says, "Hey, the guild needs tanks," the guild needs tanks.
Well, you really only need two Ironbreakers with them. It's man, like me and a buddy played them, and they're some good stuff. I really like the class. I think you guys.
They're little balls of grumpiness.
Yes, they're phenomenal. I love them.
Were you specifically at PAX?
I was at PAX.
Okay, good. I was going to say there were quite a few of the Evil Avatar members who attended the panel there.
Oh, excellent.
And won some of those really nice sunglasses you gave out.
Oh, very good. I was the I was the guy behind the laptop that was running the show while Jeff and Paul ran through that presentation as fast as possible.
No, there was a lot of praise about that presentation, actually.
Yeah, it was unfortunate that it was an hour-long presentation originally, and we basically told the guys from PAX, can we have the big auditorium room that had been reserved for random stuff throughout the day, and they said no, we don't think you guys can fill it.
Right.
And I went downstairs about half an hour before the presentation, and the line was all the way through the entire floor of the facility that we were on, and then part of the way down the staircase onto the next level down. And I went and grabbed Paul and Jeff and said, if we tell people that we're cutting it off after however many, that was 300 people that we let into the first room, if we cut it off there will be a riot and they'll tear the building apart. And so we decided we would try and double the number of people we got in, and that's why you got that, the much, much faster Paul and Jeff show with no Q&A. So the, cue to the Penny Arcade guys next year, give us the big room.
Yeah, they'll probably listen to you. One of the guys there who won a pair of those glasses was a guy named Ghost Bear, and he posted on the forums that he just wanted to tell you guys that your passion and excitement about your product is what got him into the game in the first place. I'm not really sure. He's been a Warhammer fan for a long time. And I just wanted to thank them for being so responsive to the community in regards to bugs and game issues. They really made him feel like he helped make a better game. So I wanted to pass along that bit of thanks there for you.
Well, thank you very much.
And there's other people.
His name was Ghost Bear?
His name is Ghost Bear, yes.
Ghost Bear, I'm going to give you a hint. And that hint is, if you go out and you buy a copy of Command & Conquer Red Alert 3, it comes with a special item, and I think it's in their collector's edition, but it may be in all the editions. Check before you buy. That actually you can use in our game, and it's this this sort of like crazy Russian Kislevite helm that you can put on, and it allows you to, for 5 minutes out of every hour, turn yourself into a giant polar bear and run around.
That's pretty awesome, everybody.
That's just for Ghost Bear. No one else is allowed to have it.
That's pretty you're serious?
I am 100% serious.
How does that come about? Okay, I mean,
that's the first I've heard of this.
I had no idea. I had no intent to ask you a question like that. But now I'm thinking, okay, who came up with that idea and how?
That was a buddy of ours that worked on Command & Conquer, Dave Silverman. We've been to a bunch of shows together, and we got to talking one night. And we said, man, if only there was something we could do to touch tentacles between our games. And I think part of it was we managed to get Kane from Command & Conquer to wear our sunglasses and post pictures with us one time. And Dave thought we owed him a favor. The Kislevites are a very sort of Russian-feeling army from the Warhammer world. And obviously Red Alert 3 is, all about, the sort of, alternate reality communism thing going on. So yeah. It was just a perfect opportunity for us to go, here's a little nod to fans of both of the games. The kind of person like me that's going to be playing both of them, I want to turn into a polar bear. And for the record, the polar bear is my favorite animal, so it smacks a little bit of favoritism on my part, but I actually had nothing to do with the final decision. So that's just what happens when evil marketing runs rampant across your game.
Anything else like that out there?
Oh, there have been tons of things. Depending on what types of events you came to at different times throughout the development process, we've given out all sorts of interesting, unique little widgets. Players that went to one of the Games Day festivals and stood in line to play Warhammer Online, each of those people was given a beta key that gave them preferred access to the beta test. But also it gave them access to a live game item that's a Skaven skin cloak that, in addition to just looking awesome, also gives you the opportunity to turn into a Skaven for 5 minutes out of every hour, which I can tell you from experience is a great way to fool destruction players. If you're in a scenario and you pop into your Skaven form and you just kind of squat next to their flag and don't attack them, about 50% of the time they just run by and go, "Well, there must be a Skaven NPC in this scenario." And then boom, off they go.
So when are Skaven going to be playable?
Okay, I was about to ask
that. Yeah, I got a man.
I can tell you, if it was up to me, they'd be playable now. I love that particular army. They've always been, you know, one of the things that I find, you know, visually the most appealing. We would love to be able to eventually get all of the different armies of Warhammer into our game. We are aware that Skaven are a fan favorite, but no official announcements on expansion content yet.
Well, that knocks off one of my other questions then.
That's okay, though, because that was no official announcements on expansion content yet.
Right.
That's
well,
all I needed to know. That means it's not no never. That's all I wanted to know, is that it's not no never. It's just maybe.
Now, I had to run downstairs for real quick to reset our internet here, because it's, I don't know, put together with...
Do you have one of those hand-cranked internet?
Yeah. Yeah, the gerbil got tired, and so I had to get him back on the wheel. I don't know if Daniel covered the class cut stuff that took place.
I did not.
Mm-hmm.
Before the what happened there?
I mean, it's one of those things where it's easy to say, "Well, it was exactly what we said happened," but that really, in this case, is true. We tried to be very honest and very upfront about the cuts that we made, both in terms of the player careers and also in terms of the contraction of the, you know, the targeted number of capital cities for launch. We wanted to avoid the problem that some developers have had where they quote-unquote scoped their game down but didn't tell anybody until after everybody had already paid and launched.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to make sure that information got out to the fans in a timely manner, and we actually had made the decision a fair bit in advance of when we actually announced it, and we held off for a couple of months just to give us the opportunity to announce it right before show season started, because we knew we would be getting a pretty nonstop amount of press attention from that point forward that would guarantee that particular story didn't kind of fall by the wayside, and that all of the major outlets managed to sort of help us message that out to the community, because we wanted to make sure that everybody was making an informed decision when they bought the product, that they knew exactly what we were doing and why. And the why really was a matter of quality. We had initially targeted 24 careers for launch, which, you know, compared to anything else on the market, you know, what was an extraordinarily large volume of player play style choices. We decided that four of them just weren't measuring up to where we needed them to be. And the decision was made, you know, launching with 20 careers still offers a really significant amount of, you know, individual choice. You know, those are distinct, unique career choices. Each is different from the next. That gives players a lot of variety across a lot of different play styles, a lot of different sort of battlefield functions. We didn't feel that it warranted any sort of an additional delay to try and shoehorn those extra careers in. So while they were cut from launch, we continue to sort of hammer on them today, you know, to see, can we get them to a place that we're happy with? Can we get them to a place where, you know, we feel comfortable potentially, you know, patching them in the future? But the answer that, you know, we've been giving is we will never put them in just to sort of check a box and go, "Hey, we added those careers back in for you." They will only ever go in if we are ecstatically happy with them. If we have gotten them to a point where we feel it reflects well on the product, it reflects well on the team, it reflects well on the level of respect we have for the IP and for the project and for the customers. And, you know, it really was just that. It was a matter of, you know, quality. And, you know, we weren't going to launch half-finished, you know, less-than-glorious careers into our game. So, again, players have 20 things to choose from now. The difference between 20 and 24, you know, significant to some people, but in the grand scheme of things, we felt it was better to have 20 great careers than 20 great careers and four less-than-great careers.
Right. Well, I appreciate your time with us tonight. It was it's wonderful to talk to you. Real quick, what games other than Warhammer are you playing currently?
I am, I hate to admit the amount of time I spent doing this. I've been spending the last few days frantically attempting to make the Batmobile from Dark Knight Returns in the Spore Vehicle Creator.
yes!
And I got really excited last night because I thought mine was good. And then it finally occurred to me at work today, I should just search on the Sporepedia and see. I bet at least one other person has thought to sit down and make a Batmobile at this point. And there are some unbelievable, unbelievable pieces of work that players have done with that, with the vehicle creator in Spore. There's a Batman Begins / Dark Knight, you know, Tumblr Batmobile that I actually can't figure out how the guy did it. Like, I imported it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, I don't know where the parts came from. How did you do this? You're some sort of an engineering genius. So I've been pretty obsessively playing Spore. Other than that, I actually spent a lot of my time playing Warhammer.
Well, we had a name for it. That was the title.
I was
going to
say,
our...
last week, all I played was Spore and Warhammer, so I played
Sporehammer.
Yes.
Yeah, that played Sporehammer. That's exactly what we've called it.
Trust me. Anytime I get my tender little claws into a Maxis employee, they go, it's just a perfect cross-branding opportunity. Sporehammer, make Will Wright come and play in our game. Like, Will Wright lives on the moon designing brilliant rocket ships. He doesn't have time. Which is not true. Will actually did come to visit us and take a look at the game at one point, which is, you know, one of the great sort of fringe benefits of being part of EA is you get these sort of godlike figures from the industry.
Did you get to touch him?
I did not get to. Well, I did. I shook his hand. So,
that's
yes,
amazing.
I did. I touched Will Wright. Paul actually posed with him with the sunglasses on.
That's amazing.
Well, it's again, thank you so much. I know you guys are so busy with the release of this thing. So we appreciate your time. And tell Jeff we're sorry we didn't get a chance to speak to him. But hope the emergency is okay.
Yeah, and, I'm sure it will be.
And,
if it's not, I'm sorry I said that, Jeff.
And we'll see you online. And thanks again so much for being on the show with us tonight.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you go. Warhammer, of course, going, what is it? The collector's edition was, what, yesterday? Tomorrow is the pre-orders.
Standard pre-order. And Thursday is live.
Thursday, the floodgates open. So there you go. So go out and enjoy it if you want to play that. Then hopefully you got a chance to get in some of that open beta time so you could figure out if you did enjoy that or not. And I'm going to wrap up the rest of this hour and maybe hit on a few little quick things about news. We're getting Duke Nukem 3D for September 24th on Xbox Live Arcade.
Good. Great.
Which I know a lot of people are...
need to be killed by laser trip mines.
Which I have no experience in. I know
Which is why you're going to be killed by laser trip mines.
And it'll be awesome.
That's a great game. I hope that the nostalgia is not like...
Yeah, we talked about this, yeah.
You know, a thin veneer, like an oily film of nostalgia looking back. Like, you know, I don't want to just like get in, tip the hooker, you know... Kick a couple guys, like, use the crazy three-barreled machine gun and then be like, hey, whatever. So, I'm just saying, like, I hope it's a little more fun. Obviously, I got to kill somebody with laser trip mines, so.
What else? Burnout's getting bikes on September 18th.
On the 18th. That's great.
PS3, most likely. Xbox 360, I don't know. Because the last time they did their major update, the Xbox.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, there you go. Welcome to certification issues. All
exactly.
Speaking of which, not that I know it's related at all. I'm just saying, where is a freaking Mercs 2 demo?
I thought it was released.
Yeah, so did I. Like there was that news from like last week, and it's like, man, Mercs 2 demo, it's up there now. No, that ain't been the case since then. Unless it went live sometime very late today, but I've been checking, and I haven't seen it.
Hmm.
I don't know if anybody knows. I didn't know if you had heard. Or anything like that.
I'm playing the game, so I haven't been paying attention to anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like
I don't have room for it in my queue. I don't have time for it, you know, in what I'm doing, because I got other things. Two Human finally came in, thank God.
Dana succumbed
to Castle Crashers. So.
I noticed that, too.
So now we have that, and we didn't before, so it's like, okay, I got to play that now. So.
Yet no finishing of Braid yet.
No, it's weird. Like, there was sort of an abrupt... uncontrolled break in the continuum and the continuity.
Right.
It was like, this is my relationship with this game, and then it was kind of severed. So like, and that is the kind of game that you can't help but have an emotional attachment to. So
true. And
slap in the face, that's what it was when we red ringed. So even though we have it back, it's kind of like, how do I sort of get my RPMs back up for that game, you know? How do I fall in love with it again? It hurt.
Yeah. Force Unleashed, are you getting that?
Yeah, it should be here whenever it shipped.
It shipped, okay, good. That's
for the
PS3.
I'm getting it for the PS3.
Right, so. You're going PS3.
Because why not?
Agent Fox sent me his copy, so I should be getting that today or tomorrow. of Force Unleashed for the 360. So it'll be interesting to have the two different reviews. But
I hear the warnings. You know, I've seen,
but I still
I've seen
play
the
it.
Copy. But like, all of that seems to serve to sort of bring people's expectations down out of something stratospheric. And like, I think the last time my expectations were stratospheric is when somebody said the name of the game when they first announced it. Everything I've seen since then hasn't really gotten me terribly excited. I have never deviated from being interested but underwhelmed. Mm. So I'm very glad to see that by all reports it turns out to be a 6 to 8 hour game. That's great.
Yeah.
I'll get in there, I'll whip some people around for 6 to 8 hours and then I'll be done.
Yeah. And you wouldn't spend
fantastic.
And you haven't spent $60 on it. You can send it back and get something else.
It's as if they seriously sat down and thought, you know, if we're going to like white paper this thing, let's just go ahead and start with the idea that it's going to be a rental.
Yeah.
Our basic design philosophy is that no one's going to buy this game except for the retailers and the distributors that rent it out, because it seems so perfect. It's very clearly the sort of thing you throw in your queue, spend a weekend with, and send it back. So, that's great. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, somebody said in the chat room, they're like, hey, quit talking about Burnout. Wipeout HD is where it's at. And I know you played Wipeout.
Back when it was Wipeout.
Before all the cool kids were
when it was just
Wipeout.
It was like Wipeout, you know, and then Wipeout 2097 or whatever it was, and then Wipeout XL, and then Wipeout. I played all that stuff.
Wipeout San Francisco Rush.
I played all of it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, well,
that's
now,
terrible at
you
it.
Know, we finally get HD on September 25th again, so Thursday's going to be a big day. You get Doom, I'm sorry, not Doom.
Where?
Duke Nukem 3D.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, okay. I know. Sorry. It's my mouth.
You know what I need? You know what I need? I need blood. If they're going to give me Duke Nukem 3D, I want blood on Xbox Live Arcade. I know that doesn't necessarily fit in with the sort of, you know, family blanket thing, but
family
whatever.
Blanket?
Family
did you play Penny Arcade Adventures?
No, I'm just saying, like, it's out there. Like, I'm not talking about, I'm not saying every game out there works that way, but,
overall
like,
happy feeling of arcade.
I mean,
very arcade-y
I played
feeling,
the dishwasher.
So, yeah.
I know what Gruesome is, but I'm just saying, like, did you play Blood? Blood was awesome. I'm just saying, while we're talking about games from that era, the whole build engine era of stuff, I would really like to see Blood on Xbox Live.
Was Gore from that era?
Gore.
Was it Gore? Or I'm thinking... No, I'm sorry, I'm thinking...
Gore was a game. It was a PC game of only about like 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, maybe I was thinking of Thrill Kill then.
Thrill Kill? No, it was of a later era. A little bit later.
Okay.
Still a great game, though.
I know.
Not that I ever played it, because it wasn't ever released.
Of course.
But if I had played it, it was great.
If you'd ever played it after hours at...
After hours at a certain store that I might have worked at, yeah. That was pretty fantastic.
4 players.
It was funny, too, because... I don't know, I don't think you had
Dude,
a console
no,
at that time?
No.
A lot of... I mean, it was a big disappointment.
If I did, I wouldn't play in the right games on it.
Because it was acquired by EA. EA was like, well, who did that belong to? Westwood? Something? No, it wasn't Westwood. Who did that belong to?
Are we still talking about Thrill Kill?
Yeah, who did that belong
Virgin
to?
Virgin Interactive.
Yeah. And they were purchased by EA. EA was looking at all the properties and said, this does not work with the sort of thing we do. At the time, that was a completely valid statement. And so they shelved it, and it really stank because a lot of us were looking forward to it. But a lot of the journos in the industry, like, really apparently got tired of hearing people complain about it and said that they had played the game and it was crap anyway. So, like, you need to stop. It wasn't very good. And that could not be further from the truth. I loved that game. I'm very, very sorry that game didn't go to retail, because it was completely goofy. Like, the fight mechanics weren't, you know, anything great. But, I mean, it was like, you know, a little 4-player brawl, which was pretty uncommon in that era.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it a lot. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. I don't know how we got here.
We've gone back years into the past.
Yeah, right? So Duke Nukem, I said Blood, so somebody get on that.
Yeah.
And then somehow we got to Thrill Kill, there you go.
Exactly.
Either way, there's a lot of stuff coming out, so.
There's also, did anybody play the Pure demo?
No.
I downloaded it and didn't play it.
I really enjoyed it. Again, it's on a rental thing for me. It's not something I would go, like, obviously it's not Burnout, so I'm not going to buy it, but. Well, as far as your arcade racer is concerned.
That was exactly why I didn't download it.
It's like SSX, but ATVs.
Wow, weird.
Yeah. That's what it kind of reminded me of. Insane jumps that you wouldn't see in any type of realistic type, I don't know, ATV sim. Ooh, you know what I put in my Gamefly queue?
Yeah.
Deer Hunter.
You were...
What's wrong with you?
No, I played it at PAX.
I think we can do the show without him, guys.
I played it at E3.
I've known this guy for a long time.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Look, I can reach over there. I think I can reach his mic mute button from here.
You don't understand? Oh, crap. Did the internet go out again?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, boy.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, so anyway, we'll talk about that later. Because we've only got a few more minutes left, let's go around the room. What did you play this weekend, and what are you going to be playing this week? Jeremy, we'll start with you, as we always do. What did you play this past weekend?
You always start with me, so I don't have a chance to remember what
I played. Fine, we'll jump over to Dennis. Dennis, what did you play this weekend?
Been playing Lost Final Fantasy IV on DS, finally beat it. And
I was going to say Lost Odyssey, where's that?
I didn't play much Lost Odyssey.
Alright, Castle Crashers, I think.
I played a little bit of Castle Crashers last week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Hopefully this week I'm trying to see if I can get some Dragon Quest IV going, because that's coming out on DS this week.
All right. Dragon Quest. Daniel.
I love DS remakes.
I shouldn't even ask.
Yeah, this week.
I played Sporehammer this weekend. I'm playing Sporehammer this weekend.
This past week I played Sporehammer. Now I'm going to play Morehammer. You like that? What I did there? I don't know. I think that's going to be it, unfortunately.
Jeremy,
maybe
are you ready?
Mercenaries will come in on Gameplay.
Oh, okay. No?
Man, I know I played something. other than what I can remember. I remember I played Wii Bowling because I talked to Gamer Dad at PAX. I was trying to think of something that Megan, my 4-year-old, could play where she could feel like she was accomplishing something and not just get tired and put it down. I was thinking tennis, but that didn't work out too well. And some other stuff I thought of didn't work
out. Yeah, she'd probably get really tired playing tennis and put that down.
He said bowling. I was like, really? He's like, yeah. He's like, any 4-year-old can play the bowling game. And I have to help her, like, hold the button, but she loves that, like, every time she throws it, she knocks down pins.
Yeah.
So that was a big hit, so we played that for a little bit. And then she also got into, like, changing her me around and stuff, you know.
Of course.
I was going to say drunk bowling is really good, but maybe not so much with a 4-year-old.
You finally found a purpose for the Wii. That's great.
Yeah. So it's, you know, thanks to Gamer Dad for finding something we could do, you know, together when she wears me out playing other than watch TV.
I played this past week, I've played Viva Pinata 2.
How is that?
It is Viva Pinata 1.
Okay.
but they've added in more pinatas. And also...
More Viva.
And the co-op experience, though. The co-op is really cool because all four of you have one garden to maintain. And whatever happens in that garden goes straight to you as well. You level up with everybody else. You get their achievements. If somebody does, I don't know, if he gets the Romancer Award or whatever for, you know, romancing the worms or something like that. If you haven't gotten that achievement yet, you'll get it. It's a very... easy way, I guess it's a nice little power leveling way for that game, I guess, if you want to power level with Viva Pinata. So I did some of that. I played Mercs 2. I played Bourne Conspiracy again. I really, every time I get back into that, it's like, ooh, I need to continue doing this because it's a lot of fun. TNA Impact, I played that. I got that in from Gamefly and played that. So. I think I can say this on the air. Screw you.
you summed that up pretty well there, dude.
That's how he sums up a lot. Trust me, yeah.
That was good, though. That was... Right? I echo your
sentiment. Hey, man, I've been practicing that for a long time. Sigh. Worked on that forever.
And then this weekend, I'll be playing Force Unleashed. Rock Band 2 is being shipped from Gamefly, so I'll put a little time into that and send it back. I have no intention of buying that after my experience with Rock Band 1. Wait, Dana would like to contribute.
Oh, I was just saying that Pants That Fit could go on a reunion tour.
And we could do it online.
Yes.
They finally put the tour mode online, so...
So let's get the band back together.
You and me?
Yeah.
All right.
All two of us.
All two of us. All right, we'll do that then. James, what did you get? What did you play this past?
Two Human and...
I want to talk to you about Two Human more.
I didn't, you know...
In the next hour.
I didn't, like, play it straight through consistently enough. Today is, like, actually the first time I actually made any progress. I would just, like, start a guy and be like, I hate this guy. and then like go to the different guy and then do that. And just like played the first little bit for a lot. But today I put a little bit of time into it. Which
find a class you liked?
Do what?
What class did you find a guy decide you like to play?
Yeah, just the was it the your bog standard, the champion.
Okay.
I actually like it the best. Which I completely avoided it to begin with because it's like, well, this is the guy in the middle. I don't play that guy. I'm not the kind of guy who does something straight down the middle.
Right. Like,
obviously, I have very extreme opinions, and that must necessarily have an analog in what I play. But I looked at what they were offering, and it was like, I see how you've broken it down. I kind of play with all your guys, and like, this guy's you got a weird face, and I don't like that. And this guy's like...
this guy's got a weird face, I don't like
and
that.
And like, Scott was crying about this guy, so I don't want to do that.
Commando, yes. Don't go
and then
Commando.
I was like, well, this guy over here is like for, you know... This is like what you play if you're a frat boy, and I don't want to play that. So obviously I have to go like this guy over
Man,
here.
You're just
so.
Stuck.
You
yeah, exactly.
Berserker was frat boy.
Yeah, exactly.
What so about like, Defender?
I was sort of like, whatever, but it's like, I don't want to defend things. I want to offend things naturally because I'm me.
A lot of those classes I'd like
to... Let me go ahead and tell you, Defender is very offensive.
What I just did was completely I was making a joke.
I thought some of those classes would be more fun to play if I actually had somebody to co-op with at the time.
Yeah,
since I was going single player.
Well, and I know we talked about doing this, but like, and that's something that I'd kind of like to do. I don't necessarily want to take this dude and then play some co-op with him because he's pretty average. I would definitely play with the guy with a weird face if I was in co-op.
The guy with the weird face.
Yes. But yeah, so I played around with that and I kind of got into Castle Crashers, which didn't really do anything. I just like let my guy sit there in the little tavern or whatever and boogie to the cool music for a while because that's really great. And I put no dude, you'd be totally surprised, or maybe you wouldn't, how often between the two of us, Dana and I, will like find a game with some music we like and then not go anywhere, just leave it at the menu or leave it at that part and then just like turn it up and then go do something else. Bad Company stayed on at the menu forever. Dana would just like put it at the menu and then walk away. Like turn it up. So I played that. Finished off my mage to 70, my second mage to 70.
Well, congratulations. Congrats on your ding.
All I'm doing, like, that's it. It's the last bit of, like, crazy grinding I gotta do. There you go, thank you. That's the one. Takes me back.
Alright.
So, you're just prepping for Lich King, doing all the stuff, so.
Yeah, we'll be playing Force Unleashed, and we'll be talking about that next week as well, so. Anyway, that is gonna do it for this episode of Evil Avatar Radio. It's at least this far into it. This hour, I have to remember that. We're not actually done, but that'll do it for this hour, and we will come back here in just a bit, go over more news and lots of other great stuff that happened, and of course, probably talk more about Two Human, Sporehammer, and I don't know. What else? Anything else go on?
Trust me. Stuff went on.
I'm glad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because when we did our show previous, you're like, oh, wish something interesting would happen.
Yeah, and actually, interesting things were happening as we spoke.
Yeah.
Which is always the case, so.
So.
Good for us.
No.
Can we start over?
Let's take that out.
Yeah.
I'll take it out.
Let's be silent for a moment and start over.
But it's going on the DVD.
It's going on
the DVD.
If anybody wants to throw us a donation, I'll send them that audio.
All right, so, yeah, here we are. Everybody's got their hot chocolate. We're ready to go. We might have some internet.
For hot chocolate for me.
It's the after show. It's the second hour. What the fuck this thing is called? This is where you get hot chocolate.
Yeah. And swear.
Dennis the hot chocolate show. About.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said there was plenty of stuff.
Dude, I was just talking on my ass.
Oh, goddamn it.
What the hell's going on? What the fuck is wrong with you?
I want to know what the stuff was, because I was looking at my notes, and I'm like, where did he get his stuff from? I don't see stuff.
Same place I always do, dude. I just fucking make that shit up.
Yeah,
come on. I'm not the news guy or the interview guy. I'm the guy who just comes up with weird shit.
You would have thought, though.
He's the have an opinion guy. Like, that's why none of the rest of us.
Don't you understand what archetype I'm trying to fill here?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
He's got a job. He can't do everything.
We discussed that. When you're not here, we're just going to bring in an angry bear to sit over.
Yes.
James, what do you think?
Angry bear doesn't like it.
Nope. You would have thought it was a Tuesday, though, because Blizzard announced the expansion.
It was like right.
That should happen
right
the day
there,
after we do a show.
About where I figured it would be.
It's a birthday present to me.
Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. I mean, it's kind of cool that it fell down like right where
I know a lot of people were expecting, just because...
I know people get tired of us talking about MMOs, but that's all that's been in the news, really.
Well, I mean...
Warhammer coming out, and then Blizzard says, oh, here's Wrath, and, yeah. You know, there you go, conversation, so...
Well, there's the Diablo 3 before StarCraft 2.
That's a little weird, man. That's not
a rumor, that's just bullshit. Well, I don't know what that is.
You never know!
Rumors are bullshit. And there's no functional difference until they become one
way or the other.
Well, it's
almost like I can actually see that happening, though.
So
can
I.
Yeah.
Well, and if it did, like... And...
Good.
Some people seem to think that's really bad, and I'm like, that's not really bad. This is a good game. It can
well,
come
I,
out.
I think that there's some understanding where it's like, well, this was announced first, and it's like, I don't know why that should mean anything, but
it's Blizzard.
God damn it, should mean something. You know, it's like, hey, we're ahead in line or some shit like that.
Yeah, like the hardcore StarCraft fans were like, no, we were first.
Actually, I think the thing that's of any importance in that rumor is that the rumor states that there are. Many, many, many more people working on Diablo 3. That it isn't just a question of where it was in the queue, as if it was somehow ahead in development of StarCraft 2, but was not released. The information about its announcement was not released for whatever political reason or for whatever PR reason. It may simply be that they've both been in the queue being worked on for so very long, but Diablo 3, at least in the West, being such an immense... product and probably overall going to generate a lot more money. I mean, I'm guessing. I don't know, but I don't know. They throw a lot more people at it. It's a bigger property. I just think it's a bigger property. This isn't Korea. It's a bigger property.
Yeah. So yeah, just in an overall.
So yeah, you throw a lot more people at it, and like the damn thing just moves right along and becomes what it's got to become. So I can totally buy it. But even if it does come before StarCraft 2, that doesn't mean it's still coming, like, this decade.
It's still
like 1,000 years away.
I was about to say, it's not like the StarCraft fans are going to
buy StarCraft
2.
It's not like they're going to be like, oh, and, yeah, it's just going to come out next week. Like, just to give you guys a heads up, it'll be out next week.
So, yeah, that was like a...
You saying I'm too loud, Scott? Is that what
No, 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 no. That's what this little graph right here is saying, that you're too loud.
That might have been me.
I think that's your graph.
I think that was actually... That looks like three assholes talking to once. Because that's what was happening.
All of you bastards with Take-Two stock, I feel really bad for you right now.
All right, first off, anybody with any stock, I feel really bad for at this point.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. After today, yes, that's a safe rule. But is...
So it's like, man, my stock dropped 20%, and it's like, or whatever, and it's like... This guy's 401k doesn't exist anymore. You're all right. Because Ubisoft's just going to buy your ass in another 6 months anyway.
Yeah, that was, ooh, what a drop. I mean, that's not even really
huge news. Pachter, because, you know, he deserves to be talked about more. His little weigh-in on the situation was interesting.
Yeah.
That they're just going to be like, fuck your company, we'll just take the two guys that made your best product.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like...
Which is actually... Okay, that's a pretty decent guerrilla move.
Yeah. Ooh.
It's like... Ouch. You move your company into better financial straits. So just take the two guys that are making the only interesting shit you've put out. So, I don't know. Whatever. I don't really have a strong opinion about that.
Yeah, I just felt bad for him. Like, just
seeing it isn't great, but... Holy shit. Has this been going on long enough?
Like, yeah, I'm glad that whole weird love affair thing is.
Well,
like,
it's just. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but it sure feels like Take Two has been dancing around, like trying to pick that number up a little bit. Like they've been trying to sort of hook EA and drag that number up a few more dollars per share, and it's like they were already offering you. I don't know what was it was like. Shares like 21 and change.
Yeah.
Per, and then they were offering like 25 and change, something like that. Something in that neighborhood. Yeah. And it's like, well, I know that that's not. You know, the world, but they're offering it something greater than it is, and sure as hell a lot greater than it is now. Obviously, that's the sort of thing that happens.
In hindsight.
After that, like, obviously, you know, the big money bags isn't chasing you anymore, so you're not worth as much in the public eye, but whatever. That's not what you need to be making news for anyway. You go make kick-ass games.
Yeah, go make games. Go make games.
So.
Thought it was interesting, seeing the interview with Molyneux about the original Fable, where he was like, I tried to play it again now that you know, Fable 2 is almost out. Like, I tried to go back and play the first one, and it's really bad. And I was like, wow.
Man, yeah, see, I don't know where to go with him.
That's a bit of honesty.
I don't know, man, Molyneux, he's either, like, He's either like a crazy genius, like the kind of guy who should live in a cave somewhere, and like write on a scroll.
Yeah.
Like he's like, you know, I think he's like got some really awesome genius, but he's either a crazy genius or he's like, I don't know, he's like some kind of PR ninja. Where he's like, yeah, my own game was crap. And it's like, you're either being amazingly forthcoming, more forthcoming than you really should be, or like it's a calculated thing. You're being very calculating.
Yeah.
When you say that. When you're like, you're not just agreeing with people that, yeah, I can see how you could dislike this game. It's like, no, see?
Well,
I'm so much like you that I hate my own game.
Yeah.
It's like, really?
Well, I was about to say, I remember reading a year or two ago when after Fable came out, he was like, you know, yeah, I'm sorry. You know,
he
I
was not happy with
stuff.
It. Yeah. But he has, you know.
To say that you can't bring yourself to finish it, though, that's a little, yeah. So, yeah, I think it probably is largely due to the part that he realized that he said he was going to bring a lot of stuff to the table, and he didn't bring it.
Yeah,
he told you he was going to show up to the dinner party with the entree, and instead he brought a handful of appetizers.
He can't make you think he did. It's very clear he didn't do it, so he's got no choice but to say
a lot of developers they'll do something crappy and they'll be like, just not talk about it.
Yeah, well, they almost always suffer for it.
Yeah, so
there's too many people. It's not like we're especially...
Yeah, it's not like there's
we're
no
not like
internet.
Real bloodhounds with the internet thing. It's not that we're all that great. It's just that there's so goddamned many of us.
Yeah, like word gets around.
Yeah. The truth is going to move through the internet by fucking capillary action or something.
Yeah, those tubes, they carry that shit.
Not like they're I don't know, like all clogged up with truth or anything. I don't mean to indicate that.
Well, yeah, that's...
Yeah, but whatever.
Tube Human, finally got your hands on it.
Yeah, you know, and I was just... Oh, fuck, my problem is I played the demo. My right thumb still wants to move the camera around.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, like, it's gonna suck. It's gonna hurt. Like, because I'm gonna do it for a while, and that's...
How far into it did you get?
Not very. Okay. Just like right up to, actually right up through what the demo content was,
mm-hmm.
on like three different classes. So, not even that far. Actually, I only got that far on the guy that I'm sticking with. So,
do you want to throw out your contest again now? Since we forgot to upstairs, do you want to do it?
Yeah,
you might as well.
I guess so. I guess we might as well. So we'll go solely to the email contest now.
Or we could do it next week.
I was going to say,
we could still do it next week.
I guess we could.
If we're revealing the two winners next week, we can still do that. We can still take a phone call next week.
And so we'll still do one for the phone call next week. But
remind me.
Yeah, well, if I remember.
Matt will make like a little post in our thing.
Whoever calls in to remind us to give away the beta key for Demigod on Monday.
We'll win the beta key.
No.
That's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, they'll certainly have a head start. But, once again, send an email to everyone at evilavatarradio.com with your idea for a cool god power, and you could win a demigod beta key.
So far, Ghost Bear is whooping your guys' ass.
Ghost Bear, with his entry, is... He's got 100% more entries than anybody else.
Well, Dave is offering to call one of our cell phones now to win a game he's probably not even going to play.
No, he's not
a PC game that he's not going to play. Yeah.
See, I know Dave can't do this, so I mean, if he tries to win, it's like no.
Because he'd offer a wrestling move.
Yeah.
It's like that's not a superpower. That's something that guy did off the fucking turnbuckle.
The rock bottom isn't a superpower.
The bookend.
Yeah. So.
But yes, please send an email.
Where should they send an email, Daniel?
To everyone at evilavatarradio.com.
Fabulous.
Yes.
And throw Demigod in the title for it to make me, you know, my job a little easier. That would be nice if you did that.
So there, we totally forgot to mention.
Just don't throw like buy Viagra cheap, because then it will get rid of all the rest of the spam.
Who's deciding this? Are we all deciding this?
We'll all look at it. Unless none of you guys want to look at it.
Oh, no, I definitely want to be really critical of something that someone...
Oh, and but yeah, and I think as a bonus on the after show next week, we're going to make fun of the ones that suck.
Okay.
That's great.
Assuming we get any more than the one we've got.
Well, then he'll win and we'll make fun of him.
Yeah, so. I mean, you've got to still pull them. I don't even know how to check our damn email. So,
neither do I.
I can't even remember the damn password.
Let me double check and make sure there is not yet another entry. I got nope. Still just Ghost Bear.
Yeah, whatever.
Still just Ghost Bear.
It'll be fun. Somebody will show up and say something next week.
Yeah. So. Yeah. There you go. We're giving away those beta keys.
Ow.
God. Now I don't know where else to go. I wish this wasn't water. I wish it was something
else. Now it's on your shirt. How about that?
Is
that...
Excellent. Excellent.
What do you want
to say? Oh, that was kind of special.
Damn it. There's no napkins in here.
Ugh.
So, yeah, Dumbass got fired for talking about Microsoft.
And not being anonymous about it.
No. Not being a what?
I was
anonymous.
It's a little... I haven't followed it extremely just because I think, well,
it's
I don't want to say that. I don't want to say the headline says everything, but
kind of does.
I don't get it. It's like, we pretty much know. Like, it's,
well, there's two sides of it. Yes, for one thing, the information really wasn't new. The other thing was, you signed an agreement not to talk about really anything related to anything.
I don't know where to come down on, like, on those agreements. Like, I understand there's, like, a whole system. There's like, a whole series of laws that deal with that. That's not my particular issue. I just don't understand. Dude, we know.
Yeah.
Thanks and all. But, yeah, we know. And now you're fired. So nothing is different but that you're fired.
Yeah. Now you don't get to eat.
So, like, I appreciate it and everything, but, like, the moral dilemma really existed...
Right, yeah.
...a year and a half ago.
Plus the fact that, you know, this story was picked up, I mean, I think it was announced on Friday, actually, but the thing snowballed today and everybody else was running it. So his chances of getting a job where...
Discretion is involved?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is over.
Like I said, I don't know. What the deal was.
You'll never work in this town again!
But, it just seemed like, you know, a lot of risk, and if you were purely doing this because of how you felt, then, like, quit in protest and, you know, blog about it or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it just seemed a little bit weird. Don't...
Or go anonymous.
But, I mean, again, I don't understand the point
well,
in moving in...
But...
I don't understand...
He wanted to be an internet hero, is what he wanted to do.
Failed.
Yeah, I normally don't agree with reducing things to the lowest common denominator, but in this
but
case...
But man, did
right.
it not look like that to you?
Yeah, that's
like,
actually...
I want to be an internet hero!
Well, okay.
I want the internet to like me!
Who doesn't?
Well, I don't care.
Me and some other guys.
Yeah, like, probably a lot of people don't care about being internet
but
heroes.
But B, it's like, there's a window. You want to be an internet hero? Like,
that was his shot.
You've got a window.
That was his shot. Like, that was his one...
So...
His one...
No, his shot was... A long time ago.
Yeah, I was about to say. It was a wrong time.
What are you going to do? You're going to wag your finger in the face of a company that just spent $2 billion to clean up its own mess and kowtowed to the community at large and the business community?
Didn't they admit to their own mess?
There's, other than like, just grotesquely, like, being, like, really disgusting levels of, like, supplicant, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, essentially. I mean, I'm sure that there's still a lot of,
like...
Well,
the announcement came out that they were spending $2 billion
We're spending
$2
billion to fix this thing, which is screwed. Sure, they could have gone on to detail, like, all the skeletons in the closet and all the dirty laundry and everything, but at that point, it's like, yeah, we know, we can smell it. So
yeah, like...
So, whatever, just fix
shit's
my...
broken, yeah, that's
how
fine.
How about you just fix
obviously,
my
they're
Xbox
going...
and don't sell me another broken one?
Yeah. It makes me wonder, like, if he not only was, like, trying to, you know... win the internet, but, like, had some, like, beef with what was going on with somebody there, you know,
yeah,
at corporate,
possibly.
Was like, I'm gonna get him back by telling the internet stuff they already know.
Yeah.
Well, it is the internet, for one thing. It's very hard to tell the internet something it doesn't already know.
Or think it knows.
Yeah, which is usually the problem.
Yeah.
But, I mean, whatever. Like, you know, go, like, sure, go work, you know, I don't know.
Who knows where, but...
conscience-based organization or something for the welfare of people who need to know truthy things. But, whatever.
Truth.com, I'm sure, has a spot open for him.
So does fail.com.
It's choo-choo all aboard the sailboat.
Exactly.
did anybody see that supposed ICO 3 graphic?
I heard that was totally bogus.
It is totally bogus?
I heard it was totally
bogus. Last I heard, it was like nobody was really sure.
Well, whatever. It looks like a cover art, you know.
Yeah.
Box art is what it looked like, but...
And like I said, ICO 3, the queen, I think.
I'm hoping that something will come out of the Tokyo Game Show.
Oh, yeah.
That will be related to that. I'm really...
Yeah, because it was like, this is going to be at Tokyo Game Show 2008.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it will be, and we'll know some more on that. And I got to go and pick up ICO. I had ICO. I had the game that I bought the day you and I went to GameStop, and I got your Perfect Dark Zero today, and I had ICO. Open it up for the first time, and I was going to play it a couple of weekends ago, and it had one of those fucking disc stickers that you get from the old rental places they used to use.
Yuck.
And I thought, well, fuck, I'm not sticking this in my PS3.
Yeah.
And
John.
Having something go horribly wrong inside there. So then I went into our chat room and I was like, oh, it's all, and they're like, oh, you can take that off and wash it off. Well, eventually I got the damn thing peeled off, which was, you know, very hard to do. Then it had all that sticky shit all over it, and I'm like, oh, shit. Now what do I do? And they're like, oh, rub it off with some water. It'll
rub it on a cat.
I didn't have a cat at the time.
Oh, some water?
That would be later on in the week when I get a little kit.
Oh, yeah. Then you get a little furry, fluffy disc.
Tried to get that off. Eventually, I just ended up throwing the disc away, so I need to find a better... I need to find another game, another ICO.
I got a copy at home you can borrow.
That'd be nice. All
right.
So, anyway, did anybody get into any betas? SOCOM or
no
Resistance or Home or
Newsflash, Animal Crossing City Folk will be named Animal Crossing Let's Go to the City in Australia.
Thanks.
Just wanted you guys to know.
Anyway, Daniel didn't have a PS3, so did anybody else get this?
No, I am obviously on the equivalent of like a no fly list,
dude. Yeah, what have
for
you
beta
done?
Organizations like
what have you done?
No,
they
kidding.
Know.
I don't know.
Hell, even Dana started a thread.
It's not like I'm overtly and sometimes unnecessarily critical of people in an open media format.
You're
it always
no.
Always comes back to that joke, doesn't it?
You tend to be a very nice guy.
Yep.
Now he's a Wookiee. What?
Might as well be.
Yeah. Whatever.
It was a bear, you know. So
it's true.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I'm not. I am not in any betas. Maybe that's why I'm so fucking pissed.
Yeah,
I should just think about that. Beta
maybe
guy.
He would like what you do. Yeah, I bet. You know, if you got
we'd
into
have
one,
a calmer,
clearly,
more mellow James.
Maybe I'd shill for your jackass product if you let.
Yeah,
me
know. Like man, you'd be totally stoked because you were in a beta.
Pull back the curtain. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
you know,
whatever.
What was
let us all in, damn it. Buy me a PS3.
The last little closed beta I was in, I'm trying to remember. It was probably the few weeks of COD 4 before keys were available at, you know, your local grocery store. Before they just handed them out like Halloween candy.
Candy.
We're just going to send everybody in the United States a key.
That's actually
that's what happened.
If you're at all confident in the quality of your thing, that's actually what you want to do.
What?
Because it's going to...
Trick or beta.
Oh, yeah.
Trick or beta.
I'd always pick beta. Who picks trick? You know, they're overrated. In a lot of ways, like
you only say that because you're not in them.
It's fun. I've been in enough. I mean, it is. It's fun to get in.
Yeah, you were
it's
in
not
in
fun
war.
To.
Yeah, that was a tight one.
I mean, it's the tightest beta I've ever been in
because they were like serious business about keep your mouth shut.
But at this point, like
just censors
whatever.
That was me acting as their PR. That was
oh,
like,
I got you.
Just you know, release your stuff. That's fine. I'd rather see it at retail than beta anyway. So between the two.
Really?
Yes.
I like to see it at both.
It doesn't matter. Retail is retail. Like, I mean, I would be curious to see. What I'm saying is, I want it, whatever it is, needs to hit retail in the best form possible. Like
yeah.
Me seeing it in beta is not going
to
make any difference.
I mean, that's why I like betas, is because I like to see the difference.
Yeah. Sometimes,
because I really like I like the development process is interesting to me and like why changes are made and whatnot. So, I like to see the like, okay, so this is where they're going, and then like see the retail product and see how different or similar.
That's oftentimes very depressing.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes they're way too similar.
Sometimes the hotness in beta is it doesn't
sucked
exist
out anymore. Of the retail release.
Yeah, completely is.
Planet side.
Or you're like in beta,
cone
you think
of fire. It's a brilliant idea. It doesn't matter where you're aiming. Your bullet's just going to go somewhere in that direction. That's how guns work.
Yeah. All the ones I've ever fired.
Yeah.
That's how we do it.
We don't feel that first shot
the US
accuracy
military
is...
does it. Cone of fire.
It's kind
of
like, point it. Go that way. But, I mean, I don't like that. Too many times you're right, though. Like, or things that you're like, well, this is really cool, assuming that they get this other shit under control. Yeah. And then you're like, but I really like what they're doing here. Like, all they gotta do is, that's all they have to do is get this other shit under control. And then you get it, and it's like, well, the interface is different, but they got none of that shit under control. Like, what the hell?
I don't know.
So.
No, I don't think anybody around here is in any betas, which, that's okay.
I was about to say, that's, you know what? That's fine.
I would actually like to see SOCOM.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I'm actually very interested in seeing
PS3.
That.
PS3.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah, I don't. I don't honestly have anything to add to that. That's exactly what I would like to see. So whatever.
Boy.
And there we go.
I know. You hit these spots.
Well, yeah, and it's
kind of a dead week as far as news was concerned.
And you know what? This whole night I've been refreshing the Warhammer Herald. Still no fucking announcement on launch time.
I guess I could check my feeds to see if anything.
I gotta say,
they really.
Amazing happened.
They really need to.
I would say what name I'm after, but then if I do that, there's
don't
a guarantee
no,
I will not get it.
I thought it was obviously Fluffy Muffins.
Somebody's fluffy got muffins. Fucking Fishbang. So
yeah.
On the PS3.
Yeah.
So no, don't
Fluffy Muffins.
Even if this person's totally innocent, who has his name, it was jinxed because his name was out there. So
he's not innocent. I did it on purpose.
Probably
just to spite you.
Looking, trying to see.
Nope.
There's anything.
Negative, time to go home.
It's okay. Like.
I don't have Viva Pinata 2, so there's not anything.
So there's no.
There's nothing worthwhile.
Why don't you go get Viva Pinata 2?
Why doesn't somebody just give me Viva Pinata
2? You guys might have missed it.
I don't have it.
I do have your original.
In the Evil Avatar forums, under the Writers Guild.
Uh huh.
The apparently the homeworld. I'll go to it right now. David J. Williams, the co-author of Homeworld,
mm-hmm.
He posted the query letter that he used to sell his sci-fi novel, The Mirrored Heavens.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and so you can actually go and look at that, and, you know. See what you do. I thought it would be interesting to you guys because I know you play Homeworld.
Homeworld was great.
Yeah.
2 was
nothing to do with 2, just Homeworld.
Not that great. Yeah. Cataclysm. Not even the same guys. Homeworld, though. Homeworld was
Homeworld.
Fucking aces. Hard as shit. In some places.
I think it was Homeworld. I think it was Homeworld that I saw way back when you guys lived wherever and you had your PC set up. Just before I started doing mine and mm-hmm. you were like docking a ship somewhere or something.
There was actually an extraordinary amount of ship docking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interfacing and, you know, coupling. All sorts of shit like that. That's a great game. Great story, actually. It was a terrific example of storytelling. Good art style. I love it a lot.
You know what else I played this week that no one in this room cares about? I totally forgot. NHL
2K9. That's nice.
Oh, I'm sorry. So we can do the show without him because he plays wrestling games.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, I got to be tolerant of some hockey shit.
Yeah.
We're in the South, man. I mean, I hate the South,
ice.
But like, we have rules.
Damn it, you're moving to Portland. You got to start getting interested in games that people in the North
play. No, dude, whatever. I got to learn to eat granola and like, you know, wear things that are brown. That's
they do a lot
do.
Of that, don't they?
Yeah, I don't
the brown
know.
Thing. I don't
whatever,
know,
it's
weird.
Cool. It's close enough.
It's
to
close
black.
To black. Yeah.
Well, you walk through the market in Seattle.
The wrestling game wasn't Scott's big sin, though. It was Deer Hunter.
Yeah, Deer Hunter.
What was I say?
Deer Hunter is a completely different category.
You didn't get to
just a 2K sports
game.
We're
looking for something
son
to talk
of a bitch.
About.
So what's your defense?
My defense is, for one thing, it's online.
He lives in Alabama. I don't think he...
You can great, go so on. People are going to know you're playing.
Yeah. Oh,
so you can recreate the Dick Cheney experience in the comfort of your own home over Xbox Live?
This conversation with the guy at E3 who was sitting there, he didn't want to be sitting there. He had actually worked on the Dragon Ball stuff, but they had put him at the booth for the new Deer Hunter game. And he's like, hey, you know, he was just sitting there with his energy drink. He's like, yeah, you want to take a look at this? Okay. Here's what you can do. We've added ragdoll physics to the anime. And I was like, really? That perked me up. And then he's like, oh, yeah, we've added online mode so you guys can go hunting with your buddies or whatever. I don't know where you guys are from. And I was like, whoop, I showed him my thing. And he's like, oh, okay, you know what I'm talking about. And so...
hey, welcome. Hey, my show, my dear.
He had way too much fun with the deer. Okay, so when you get a kill shot, it follows the bullet. It does the whole, you know, people would call it Matrix stuff now. I call it the camera on the arrow from Robin Hood shot. It follows the bullet directly to the path where it kills the animal, and then, of course, ragdoll physics take over, and the animal does whatever he does.
Flies 400 feet.
So, you know, they've got shotguns and, you know, compound bows, everything else that you can kill animals with, I'm sure.
Are we really having in there.
Landmines?
No.
Rocket launchers?
Not trip mines.
Laser trip mines?
Because, that would actually be kind of entertaining if I could play a landmine.
So, yeah, you can follow the bullet, and it goes wherever. If the animal happens to turn around, it goes straight into its face, straight up its ass, whatever. But it was still like, I put it in my rental queue. I'm going to rent it. I'm going to play that.
Now, I'm already imagining, different kinds of online modes, like Hunters versus Deer.
No, that's exactly what I was thinking about. I was thinking about
I'm a deer! Look at me run!
No. I was thinking of like, the Versus, the Survivors versus Horde from Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
Like, fine, you got a hunting party, like, you know, guy and his kid, whatever. You sitting in the tree stand. I want complete control over my raging buck.
Yeah.
Buck you!
That's what it should be called. It should be an achievement.
Yep. Yeah,
somebody in the chat room's like, railguns. Do they have railguns?
I want orbital strikes. I want to be able to call in precision orbital strikes.
Hammer of Dawn.
Hammer of Dawn.
So, I prefer kinetic over energy weapons.
Kinetic doesn't give a shit.
No.
Could Gary Busey have something to do with it? Because that'd be good.
He should be like the narrator voice or something.
Yeah. Gary Busey needs to be involved.
Have Busey needs to, like, you need to have, like, obviously helpful tips and things like that, and they're gonna be all his.
Busey's it.
Because that's what he does.
You know, shooting a deer is like talking to God. You know, I don't know. He's got some Buseyisms, man.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna have to let me know. You know what? Actually,
we're all looking forward to that.
Don't even. I don't even. You know. I don't need to.
You know what? I really have no plan to bring it up ever again. It was just my time spent at E3 with that, and this poor guy who didn't really want to be there, but actually found somebody to have fun with while we were sitting there wasting time. Nick was looking at the Witcher enhancements, and I'm here watching. You know, a deer go limp and then fly all over the place.
See, I don't understand.
I think Nick won out on that deer.
I don't understand Deer Hunter, because I know, like, the thing about hunting. I don't... Whatever, obviously, like, I don't do that. I don't care.
But people do, and you understand that.
Like, I get how it works, kind of. I certainly understand the different levels of expertise. I understand the ability of, like, you know, how to train an animal that this area is perfectly safe, and then you show up randomly and kill it. Like, I understand. Hunting's serious business.
You can go here, and then, like, a year later, it's like, all right, Grand Hunters, you can go here.
But, like, I don't know how it works. Like, do you just run around? Is it, like, I don't know. It's like Duke Nukem with deer? Because, like, that's what it looked like back when they first started doing it. It should be something more like...
Somebody in the chat room's yelling at you. You're from the South. I have to correct them. He is not from the South.
No, I am not. I live in the South.
And anybody listening, no, he is not from the South.
I was going to say, I think it should be like Metal Gear. I think Deer Hunter should be like Metal Gear. It should be, like, extraordinarily stealth-oriented and, like, you know, the tables can turn at a moment's notice. And, like, if the doe spots you, then, like, it goes and it calls a buck.
Wink! Can there be a cardboard box involved?
Hold on.
That can be a cardboard box with urine on it, just yeah. like in the first Metal Gear Solid.
That's true.
What about we're still steaming buck semen?
That signals the end of this show.
Yep, that's it.
Way to go,
game over.
Yeah, thanks,
Danny. Well, there's
you always have to go just a little too far.
Look, good it's job. A legitimate product.
No.
I've never bought it.
No joke, like, I showed up at my friend who goes hunting regularly. I showed up at his apartment one time, and, like, there's a big ad in, like, the hunting magazine for still steaming buck semen.
That's awesome. That's great. That's...
I can't make this shit up. Like, that's beyond my level.
Time to go.
We'll see you Thursday.
Bye.
See you then.